And Kathy Dawes now, along with Mike and Lisa Irvin. Appreciate both of them. Real close to the mics, so they get a chance to give you all the instructions. That was a quick break. Directors of the Flint Hills Foster Teen Camp, and appreciate you being here. And I know it's always such a fun event and very, very crucial. And Mike, I don't know if you want to lead off and kind of tell us about what you have planned this year.
Well, we just finished up our last camp for the foster teens, just last weekend, in fact. It was the third one of the year. That one there was for the 16 to 18-year-olds. So it's been an exciting journey this year. We've had lots and lots of kids that have been in the foster care system that have come to camp. And our camp, what it is, it just helps provide hope. That's what we hope that they leave with, and then for them to realize that they can take their futures back through those camps.
And it has to be very rewarding, Lisa, to work with something like this. What kind of happens at these camps and some of the experiences these young people get a chance to have?
It is rewarding. It's a bittersweet experience. We're always excited to have the kids come to camp, but that also means that they're in foster care. And so we have them come out to camp. Like Mike said, our goal is to help them take their futures back, realize that their past does not define them, that the abuse and the neglect and the abandonment that they've went through isn't who they are, that they can still be doctors if they want to be. They can still go to school and play sports, just whatever, because they feel like that has all been taken away from them. So we're there to help them understand that they can have hope and that they can help get their futures back.
And Mike, again, specifically at the camps, I mean, what's the experience like? Say I walk in, you know, I'm going to be taking part in this and some of the things that they do.
Well, I think one of the things that really sets our camp apart or makes it different than a lot of the other camps is we have a challenge course that's set up where and what makes it challenging is the way that we frame each one of the elements up. Maybe we just ask, you know, what do you want to escape from mentally? What do you want to leave behind as we go through those elements? And it is very, very emotional as we go through that for those kids. And to see them, we have a 12-foot wall, and to see those kids climb over that wall and just saying, I want to be an overcomer, and I want to get up over that. And we tell them, we say, on the side of the wall that you're standing on today is a wall of shame. On the back side of this wall is a wall of fame. We have over 265 signatures on the back of that wall of foster teens that have climbed that wall and said, I want to take my future back. I am an overcomer.
The challenge course is, it's not a strength and agility. It's for teamwork and trust. And so they go down there, and we just hit this head on. Why are you in foster care? How long have you been in foster care? What has that done to you? And what do you want to leave behind? And for 3 or 4 days, every day they're down there working through that, trying to grasp and understand some of their past so that they can let go of it and move on.
And I noticed, you know, when you first started out, Mike, you talked about, I think you said the age group that was involved this last camp, and so you break it into different age groups. Is that kind of how it works?
Yes, ma'am. Our first camp is for 12 to 15-year-olds. We run those as separate gender, and that's a three-day camp. Then the other one that we just finished up is for the 16 to 18-year-old, and that is a four-day camp. Then we're also in the process of adding another leg to the Flint Hills Foster Teen Camp, and that's called Homes of Hope. It's for the 18 to 20-year-old teens that have aged out of the foster care system and have nowhere to go. So we have developed a life skills program. We provide them a home, transportation, and then we just really dive into their lives also. So once they finish the program, they can become productive citizens of our society.
I guess we need to talk about your softball tournament, you think? That's
sure.
Part of the reason you're here today. And Lisa, if you want to share with us what the plans are for that and kind of what it's for.
So a couple of our volunteers that came out and helped us this year, Kyle and Mallory Powers, took it upon themselves to put together a benefit softball tournament for Flint Hills Foster Teen Camps. So we have he's gotten about 20 teams, 19, 20 teams to come play. Several sponsors, 15 or more sponsors, to jump on board and help support this. And we're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a great time. Softball's always fun, and the weather looks like it's going to be fantastic. So that'll be a huge benefit for Flint Hills Foster Teen Camps.
So, Mike, even though you're kind of through this batch of camps, it's a good fundraiser, and to kind of talk about how that money is used or will be used.
The awareness is huge. The money, we raise all the funds for these kids to be able to come to camp. We don't charge anybody. Lisa and I raise all those funds. And then with, like, the softball tournament and other things that we do. And the funds are used for the things that the kids get at camp, all the food, because these kids like to eat. And, of course, they get they take their T-shirts home, and they get a lot of other things as well. And then all the volunteers that come out and give of their time to be with those kids for 3 or 4 days. That's where all those funds go.
And we send home, like, backpacks and fanny packs and just, you know, all kinds of items that they can do in crafts. And it also helps our Homes of Hope program, where the interns actually live out there 365 days a year. So the funds are spread across all three of our programs.
Are there ways that the community can help? I mean, with the tournament in particular, or just in future when it comes to your camps?
Definitely ways that the community can help. Gosh, this year the awareness has been tremendous. 502 Media did a video for us and some other stuff, and they just really changed the course of Flint Hills Foster Teen Camps. And I think, I mean, we're always raising funds. We're always looking for places to go and tell the story of what happens with the kids. And we'll go anywhere. We just want people to know.
Lisa, it has to be rewarding what you do. And I know you've got to be a little bit careful stories you tell because of confidentiality type issues. But, you know, anything kind of stand out to you? Just any stories that in the past of some of the kids that you've worked with where you really feel you made a difference?
You know, we have a lot of stories. We have one young lady. She's actually in her sophomore year at Highland Community College. She came to our camps 3 years before she aged out, and that would have been before we had our program for aging out. The first year she came, she had probably 50 or 60 cut marks on her thighs that were fresh, healing from cutting herself, because she found out if she cut herself that her abuser wouldn't come in and sexually molest her because he did not like the blood and the scars. So that was her safe way, which also became a very mutilating way. She came to camp the second year, and she made a big change in her life. She had to be hospitalized because of her self-mutilation, but by the third year she came to camp, she was a totally different girl. And if you called her today and put her on the phone, she would tell you the Flint Hills Foster Teen Camp saved her life.
Boy, that's really something. Kind of gets you a little bit there, doesn't it, Mike?
It really does.
But I know that, you know, as you work with some of these folks, and as you say, things have really taken off for you, and I hadn't realized that. It's just wonderful to hear that, because I know I've had you in before, I think, and we've chatted. But, you know, just anything else, and as we talk about the softball tournament, maybe we need to get more specifics about how people can still get involved with that, and just anything else you're wanting to add today.
I think on the softball tournament, I mean, we want people to come and sit in the stands and cheer on the teams. And I know we could use some more referees or umpires or something like that. And just come be a part of it. I mean, I'm sure we'll take more sponsorships that people want to get behind financially. We'd love to have that too.
Now back to your Homes of Hope. I mean, that does sound like something kind of new that you've been working on, and you know, maybe the next step for that, I don't know, Mike, if you want to lead off, Lisa, certainly chime in.
The next step on Homes of Hope is we are getting ready to build a girls' home that will house 8 girls, and hopefully we'll be having a groundbreaking ceremony probably within the next few weeks on that to get that project started. The need is huge. Over 500,000 teens in foster care nationwide, and that's annually. So you can imagine all the ones that age out, there's that many more that come in. But the ones that age out, where do they go? What do they do? And so that's why we're providing the Homes of Hope.
51% of teens that age out of foster care are immediately homeless, living on the street, living on somebody's couch, moving around constantly. They have no support system. They, you know, their social worker is still tries to be in contact with them, but so many of these kids are so bitter with the system that they don't want to have any contact with them. There's over, of that 500,000 kids in foster care, over 7,000 of them are right here in Kansas. And we just know that this is our future. This is our future generation. These are our future presidents of banks, our professors at K-State, everywhere. And if we can just help these kids, you know, learn the life skills that you and I take advantage, we just take for granted, you know, how to balance a checkbook, how to make a grocery list, how to clean a house. These kids aren't taught that because they're each teen in the foster care system averages 3 homes a year.
Interestingly, later this week, we're having Lon and Kathy Ostrom on as foster parents, and they're a good example, I think, of foster parents. And there are some wonderful homes out there. We should say that.
Oh, there are.
But yet, there's others that, as you say, the transition between all the different homes can be so confusing for a young person.
Yes,
so.
Very much. There are a lot of good foster homes out there. We see, you know, going through the kids that come to camp in Homes of Hope, lots of good foster parents. Lots of bad foster parents, unfortunately.
Well, we have about a minute left or so. If there's anything else you're just really wanting to highlight, Mike, anything we are forgetting to mention to people out there today? Or
we just appreciate all the support we've received in Manhattan and just the way people have got behind Flint Hills Foster Teen Camps and just to help tell the story because these kids are worth it.
Yes.
Lisa, anything to add?
We just thank everybody for the opportunity. We're so humbled at everybody that has just jumped on board to support this organization and these kids that, you know, this isn't their fault. They didn't create this issue.
Thanks again to Mike and Lisa Irvin today. And, of course, directors Flint Hills Foster Teen Camp, you've been listening to In Focus.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. Coming up next.